You are listening to The Sun on the Strip. I'm Brock Radke, entertainment writer for the Las Vegas Sun, and every Wednesday I'll have an exclusive conversation with someone who is being fabulous on the Las Vegas Strip, as well as an update on what's going on in the world of entertainment here in Vegas. Thanks for listening. If you weren't in town for Labor Day weekend, you missed a big one. A lot of big holiday crowds celebrating the end of summer all over the Strip. Two football games at Allegiant Stadium, some superstars coming through, like Harry Styles at MGM Grand and J Balvin at Resorts World. It was a blowout, and it's going to keep going into this weekend. There's the return of two long-running festival-style events, the Big Blues Bender at Westgate and the Viva Las Vegas Rockabilly Weekend at the Orleans. Lionel Richie returns to the Strip this weekend with a few shows at Wynn and the theater at Virgin Las Vegas, the hallowed concert hall formerly known as the Joint at the Hard Rock Hotel, finally reopens for shows with a concert from the great Gary Clark Jr. on Saturday night. I wrote all about that renovated venue, what to expect from the experience there at Virgin, as well as who's coming to play there soon. And you can read that in this week's issue of Las Vegas Weekly Magazine. It's free, it's all over town on Thursday, and it's ready for reading at lasvegasweekly.com. Two cool new rock concert engagements announced this week that you need to know about. The Black Crowes will play the House of Blues at Mandalay Bay, November 18th and 19th. Tickets go on sale September 10th. And the Foo Fighters will play Park Theater at Park MGM December 2nd and 4th. I'm excited about both of those. The next show I'm going to see on the Strip is Donny Osmond's new solo residency at Harrah's Showroom. It just opened last week, and I'm going to check it out this week and let you know how it goes very soon at LasVegasSun.com. Speaking of new shows, the Strat has seemingly cornered the market lately. Earlier this year, the North Strip Resort announced a new partnership with the always prolific Spy Entertainment, that's SPI, to bring a whole new slate of programming to the Strat Theater, and it's already happened. There was one show there, MJ Live, and there are four shows running most nights now, plus the upcoming headlining residency from Sammy Hagar. How did this happen so fast? This is what Spy does. This company is also behind the shows at the Thunderland Showroom at Excalibur, including the long-running Thunder from Down Under. And it doesn't just manage great showrooms on the Strip. It creates and produces its own original shows, like Boys to Men at the Mirage and the former Human Nature residency at Venetian and many others. And this week we get to go behind the scenes and talk with Adam Steck, the founder of Spy Entertainment. He's got a lot to say about all these shows and some other projects he's been working on. But if you really want to pull back the curtain and see the machinery behind the Vegas showbiz scene, that's what you're going to get here and now. This is my conversation with Adam Steck. You're doing more than ever, or so it seems. But before we get into all that stuff that's happening right now, I want to ask you about what you know is one of my favorite shows that I keep thinking I gotta ask you about it because it hasn't come back yet, and that's Boys to Men at the Mirage. Now, you just did the after party show at the Venetian with one of the members of Boys to Men involved with that, and that was an incredible success, right?
Oh, it was a grand slam home run. It was literally, the after party was a party every single night. The audience was just going through the roof. I mean, it was just, you know, you had AJ McLean and Nick Carter from the Backstreet Boys, Joey Fatone from NSYNC, and Wanya Morris from Boys to Men, all on one stage with a kick-ass band. We had a horn section of three amazing female horn players. The whole team was just amazing. But you can imagine, I'm so bummed you didn't make it, man.
I know, so am I.
Yeah, it was just, you know, you get to see each one of those guys shine brighter than they were with their own respective bands. I'm not taking anything away from their bands. All their bands are amazing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you've got, you know, Wanya Morris, who's arguably the best singer on the planet, you know, singing, you know, Backstreet Boys songs and singing NSYNC songs. And it just gave it a whole different dimension. You know what I mean? And conversely, you've got, you know, AJ and Nick singing, you know, NSYNC songs and Joey Fatone all together singing Boys to Men songs, like End of the Road, On Bended Knee. And it was just unbelievable to see the chemistry between them and the musicality, and like I said, they just all stepped up and shined so freaking bright. and danced and entertained, and you really got to see the magic of each one of those guys, you know what I mean, and how talented they really, really, really are.
And they're fans of each other, obviously. Like, it must have been amazing for those guys to sing Boys to Men songs with Wanya, because you know that they grew up singing those songs on the radio just like the rest of us, right?
And that was one of my favorite aspects of the show, was the respect and the adoration that everybody gave to Wanya and Boyz II Men, because, you know, they paved the way for a lot of these boy bands, and it just showed so much respect, which was amazing. And then same thing, you know, the whole, you know, NSYNC and Backstreet Boy quote-unquote rivalry, which was all manufactured, right? There was no real rivalry, but it was great to see those guys banter about, you know, hey, you guys did a photo in the pool, right? And they showed the photo of the pool. Oh, we did one too. And then one is like, yo, black people don't go in the pool. I mean, it was just great banter, you know what I mean? That went back and forth, and good camaraderie, and just absolute respect for everybody, you know? And then not to mention the special guests that we had in there. We had Luis Fonsi that came in at Despacito, and he's a massive Latin artist. He's pretty big in America for that song, and he was so talented and so unbelievable, and again respectful to everybody on stage, and was so thankful to be there. And you know, then you see all the guys doing backup for Despacito. It was really, really, really cool.
Yeah.
Sean Stockman popped in one of the nights and lit the place up, and they obviously did the Boyz II Men songs, and he did a bunch of rock and roll songs with a guitar. And the roof was up, was a million feet in the air, man. It was amazing. Who else showed up? Ray Parker Jr.
Oh, I know about that one.
That's a curveball. But all the guys were like, oh, my God, Ray Parker. They love Ghostbusters. That seems to be that they all love that song. And Ray came there and did Ghostbusters. But Ray's got an incredible catalog. I don't know if you've dove into his catalog. But he's insane, man. He's so talented.
Yeah.
And then Bobby Brown showed up on Saturday night, did My Prerogative. It was cool, man. It was just, you know, one cool thing. And then Coolio at the end. So it was a true... what we set it out to be, like a rap pack of a modern day rap pack.
Yeah.
You know, actually the name changed five or different times. One of them was going to be The Pack, which I thought was cool. And then I think Joey Fatone came up with the After Party. That's what stuck.
Yeah.
So it was incredible, man.
I'm sure it was great for Sean and Wanya to be playing in Vegas again. They've had to take a long time off. Like every show had to take forever off.
Yeah.
So their residency at the Mirage, is that like so many other shows still just waiting for the right time to come back? Is there a chance that could go somewhere else or not come back? Or what's the status of it?
You know, I always defer to you know, their manager to talk about their business, because there's certain things that, you know, I'm sure they want to keep quiet until it actually happens. But, yeah, just, I mean, for me as their local producer, local partner here, I can't wait to get them back. I know the desire is for them to come back. You know, it's all right place and right time. And, you know, the Mirage, the room that they were in, you know, Shin Lim took over the room and is doing a lot of the dates there. They redid the set. So the old Terry Fader set that was sort of more universal that Boyz II Men played in is now geared towards Shin Lim. Still looks, I mean, any act can play there. It's got, like, I think dikes and stuff around the perimeter. I don't think you've seen that. So there's less dates available there. We're working on something. You know, there's a lot of irons in the fire, and they're definitely love Las Vegas. They definitely want to get back on that stage, and we all want to see them back on the stage here.
For sure. It seems like you've been so busy lately with everything that's going on at the Strat. This just seems like it was a very short period of time ago that your company, it was announced you guys were going to team up with the Strat, and you were going to program that theater. And then as soon as you announced that, it was just like a constant stream of new shows. And now, with a new show opening there last week, it's kind of a packed joint. It's got a lot of stuff happening every night. You were working behind the scenes on this for a while, I assume, before it actually started taking place. What's it been like to take over this new room and get some shows in there that you had been working with before or had found new partners with?
Sure. You know, look, the pandemic, you know, I never stopped working. You know, you know me, Brock, for many, many years. I'm always plotting and planning, and what am I going to do? How am I going to expand? What show is going to go where? What do we, you know, all that kind of stuff. And the opportunity came up because the production company that had the lease on the room before, the management, their deal is coming to an end. And so, you know, my good friend, Brad Goldberg, who's the, you know, senior marketing executive at the property asked me if I'd be interested. I said yeah. I said I don't want to kick anybody out of there, but I said if you're looking for a new proposal, I think the property is amazing. They just did a $100 million plus renovation to the property from the and they changed it from the Stratosphere to the Strat, and the property looks unbelievable. It looks really, really good, man. There's a good vibe in there, a good energy. Mm-hmm. It's got the unbelievable amenities. It's iconic, right? The building itself is at the Top of the World restaurant, which I think is arguably one of the coolest restaurants in town with the views.
And yeah,
it's got this lot of great amenities, all the rides and stuff like that. So I thought to myself, and the showroom itself is phenomenal. It's like old school with the booths and it's tiered nicely and it could be configured in many different ways. And so ultimately, we won the bid, if you will. The RFP got put out. And, you know, I had some ideas of shows that I wanted to program there. So I sat down with Brad and his team, and they told me what they liked, what they didn't like. I got to understand what the property was about, their demographics, what they were looking for. And this is what I do. I eat, sleep, and breathe Vegas in this town. And so I was able to, you know, in my mind, you know, put together what I thought would be an amazing lineup. Because, you know, for years I had one show there, and I'm like, you know, I'd like to, you know, maximize the real estate and, you know, make the property what we call stickier. So when people go there, there's multiple options, and might as well monetize the rooms, the time slot. So, yeah, we set out to put a 4 o'clock, a 6 o'clock, an 8 o'clock, and a 10 o'clock spot, and today we've got all those slots filled. MJ Live has been there for many, many years. It's a wonderful show, and Dick Feeney is an icon in this town. He's a legend, and you know, we worked out a deal to let that show stay to at least the end of the year. That was great business, but the property wanted something different, and you know, I can't go against the property's wishes, and so you know, hopefully they'll have a soft landing and find another place. But yeah, at 4 o'clock we've got Banachek, who's been my friend for many, many years, and he's the world's greatest mind reader. He's in if you had to put him in a category, he's in the mentalist sort of category.
Yeah.
And he's the guy that's been behind the scenes and crafting magic tricks for the likes of Chris Angel and Penn and Teller, and he's had his own, you know, he's toured around the country with doing the College Network and he's just the guy. He's the best in that field. And he's always wanted to do a Vegas show. So, I signed a deal with him 3 years ago, and it's right place, right time. And finally I said, hey, man, I think I got the right place for you. So that show opened up. And so far, critical acclaim. Everybody's loving it. It's great. And prior to that, there was a magician in town named Xavier Mortimer. And I'm friendly with his producer, a guy named Alex Good from France. And he approached me. He says, hey, you know, our contract is ending, you know, where they were at another property. He said, do you have any places? I'm like, you know what? Interesting enough, I might. And, of course, I had the Strat in mind. I said, as long as you're done with your other contract, I don't want to cut anybody off. You know, and I pitched it to the casino. And the casino executives loved the magic. I thought it was a good fit for their property. And I think Xavier Mortimer is amazing. You know, I think what he does is very unique and very different, and it's not your typical magic show with the big box illusions. He's a bit of a storyline and a lot of special effects, and he's got this really cool effect. I think you might have seen what he does jump roping, and like he flies up, and you know, it's really, really well done with a lot of taste. And I really think Xavier has there's a star quality about him. You know what I mean? There's an it factor. Oh, yeah. I get to see him like soaring.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's unbelievable. The attention to detail, he's there every day working on his craft. And, you know, we were out of the gate. We're doing incredible business. I mean, way more business than he was doing at the other property as well. So I knew we made the right decision there. Then for the late night spot, there were many different ideas and opportunities floating around. And we were going to do this show called The Empire Strips Back, which was a burlesque parody on Star Wars. I'm like, oh my God, the name alone. I love this. And I've known about this title for years. They've been wanting to come to Vegas. And then we actually cut a deal with them. And everything was going down the road. And you know, then we had our attorneys check out the legalities of doing a parody on such a big brand like Star Wars, which is owned by, I think, Sony now. Or Disney, I'm sorry.
Disney, yeah.
And it just didn't pass muster. They said, Adam, we highly recommend you don't do this.
That's the one you don't want to
mess
with.
You don't want to mess with. And the creators of the show, you know, parody's all, you know, perspective, right? Like what you think is parody, they might think is. And so they thought they had the show just right, and they really weren't willing to tweak it enough and protect us with legality. So we had a pass on that show. And then I got a call from somebody in town that says, hey, I got another show called Illuminate. They were winners of America's Got Talent. And I thought to myself, I don't know if that's going to work. Let me hear more about it. And then I got on the phone with the guy that's handling the business affairs, a guy named Huggy, great guy. This guy's a seasoned concert guy. He's been on tour with Mary J. Blige and all these major stars for many, many, many years. So him along with like everybody else in our team, they're just top notch. I'm like, okay, they got a really great, polished team. Then I got to know Maral Kotby, who was the creator, and she is so dynamic. She's such an amazing human being and such an incredible story. She's battled cancer twice and got back from it, and her passion is technology and it's also music, so she put those two together and created this incredible, unique, one-of-a-kind show, and that's what I'm always looking for, something that's different. And so, we sat down with them, and they pitched me the idea. And I'm like, you know what? This could work. If we could just make it a bit edgier and a bit more Vegas-like, I think it might have legs here. So they did it, and we opened up, like 3 or 4 days ago. And the show looks amazing, and I think we might have a hit here. So yeah. We'll see. Time will tell.
I can't wait to go check that out.
Yeah, man. And they had all these great, drinking infusions into the show where it's interactive.
It's a party show.
It's a total party show, man. It's one of those, people come to Vegas to be wowed, right? They like, you're going to get wowed at this show. You're going to be like, oh, my God, the choreography is exceptional. The technology is what makes it, sets it apart from everybody else. There's a great little storyline. The hosts are very witty and edgy and funny and a bit dirty and just what we need for Vegas. And so I'm excited about it. I really hope it takes off and thrives.
You just said something that made me think about a very important thing. Whenever there's a new show in Vegas, it doesn't matter if it's pandemic stuff going on or 10 years ago. A lot of shows have come to Vegas, made their debut, weren't able to last for whatever reason. And I think a lot of times that happens because they don't have somebody like you and your team here to kind of translate their show for Vegas a little bit, right? Because obviously what works in another city or what works on tour is not necessarily going to work on the Strip 5 nights a week, and you guys have been here doing this for a long time now, and you can give producers and performers those tools to kind of fashion their show and give themselves a better chance to succeed, right? How big of a deal is that when you're bringing in a show that you actually can have that kind of a relationship with the show?
It's everything. Like you said, we have the history in Las Vegas. We know generally what works and what works for this clientele, and it happens, I want to say 100% of the time, but at least 90% of the time, a show that might work in New York or Broadway or some other place, they'll come in and think, hey, our show is going to kick butt here. And most of the times it doesn't, because they don't listen to the people who are on the ground to give them at least the best chance of success. They've been amazing. We actually had a meeting after the second show. It was Saturday night. I went down there. We sat down, and we had a post-show meeting, and we gave some creative input, and they were the fact that we have been so involved and so concerned and so passionate about their success, even though in this situation we're just a landlord, right? You know what I mean? It made them very happy that we were that. We're not just a landlord taking their money and, all right, kid, give me your cash and have a good show. That doesn't work for anybody. We want longevity. This is our name. We promise the Strat that we're going to bring them quality entertainment and hopefully shows that last a long time, which is what Spy Entertainment does. And we've been very fortunate to have long-running shows. So we want anything that we touch to have the same success that we've had with our own shows. So to answer your question, it's very important that we have that dialogue. And even more important that they listen. And so far, it's been great. They've listened. Open ears, open arms, open everything. And the first night when I saw them, I gave them some notes. The second night, they already did the changes, and the show was that much better.
Not every company does both of those things. You guys produce your own shows, and you also manage these two very significant rooms on the Strip, the Strat Theater, and, of course, the Thunderland at Excalibur, which you've been running for many years now. So you have that dual perspective on how to make things work that not a lot of companies do.
Exactly, yeah. We're very fortunate, man. Just, again, 20-plus years of doing what we do and being able to have different hats and different roles, it's quite amazing, man.
The other show that we didn't mention yet at Strat is Sammy Hagar, which is coming up pretty soon, but, like, those shows are all sold out.
Oh, man.
Last time I saw you in person was like the day after the pre-sales happened, and right, everything was already sold out, right?
Yeah, man. I mean, I'm a rocker. I love classic rock is my jam. I find the love in all kinds of music. I love hip hop and R&B and all that. But you know, I grew up on classic rock, and to have the opportunity to work with Sammy Hagar, man, he's a legend. You know, from Montrose back in the day to his own career, you know, with Three Lock Box and all those albums that he did, you know, pre Van Halen. He went to Van Halen and one of the biggest bands of all time. And you know, after that, he had the Circle, which also a lot of people don't realize, you know, also was very successful. And you know, his band members, he's got Michael Anthony from Van Halen, and then he's got Jason Bonham on the drums, you know, from the Bonham legacy. His father was the legendary Led Zeppelin drummer, and they have an incredible guitar player too. So to have the opportunity to work with Sammy at the Strat and just when we get to take over the lease is unbelievable. So yeah, like you said, we work with Sammy, and he loved the room, and he could have picked anywhere in town. He really could have. And he actually said that at his press conference. He just loves the vibe there. You know, it's a smaller room than he's used to playing, but he loved it. And so anyway, so we did it. We came up with the key art. The whole idea was to bring the Cabo experience to Las Vegas. And you know, the showroom's going to be transformed into Cabo Wabo, his club then in Cabo. It's really, really going to be cool, man. And we put the tickets on sale, and they literally sold. We put on four shows. October 29, 30, or 28, 29, and then the next week, November 5, 6, and all four shows sold out within a half an hour to his fan base, which was incredible. It was terrible because the general public couldn't get any tickets, so then we added two more dates the following week after November 5, 6, and the public was able to get some of those tickets, but they all got sold out as well, too. So it's exciting, man. We have six sold-out Sammy Hagar and friends. It's going to be a little like the after party. Yes, some friends are going to be showing up, too. And again, if just one of those friends shows up, it's going to blow people's minds, man. It's going to be incredible. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to it, man. It's going to be a rock and roll party at the Strat.
On the other end of the strip, maybe this got lost in the shuffle a little bit, but a legendary comic magician who's been headlining on the strip as long as anybody, Matt King, jumped into Thunderland and now kind of rounded out the show lineup there with Bee Gees and Thunder from Down Under. What a great addition, and what a natural fit he seems like he is for the property, the Excalibur.
You know what? Number one, Matt King is a legend. You know, he's been around town for as long as I've been in town, 20 plus years. Mm-hmm. Bill Volkner, his business partner, is a great guy too. I've known him for many, many, many years. And they reached out to someone at the property, and they asked me, hey, what do you think about Matt King? And I'm like, oh my God, Matt King, a king at the castle? You know, he plays, there's very few shows that can play at 1 o'clock and 3 o'clock in the afternoon that has a brand like that. It's a difficult time spot to fill, and they've done it for many, many, many years. So to me, it was perfect, and I needed to bring another show in there when Hans Klok had left. Mm-hmm. So I needed to bring another show, and for to have a show be that early to really not change our evening schedule, right? Because we have our Australian Bee Gees show there, and of course, the entire reason why the show was there is Thunder from Down Under, the Mighty Thunder. So bringing in, you know, Matt King, this legendary afternoon artist, magician, act, to that time slot, it was a no-brainer. And again, he had finished his contract where he was. You know, I'm very sensitive about that. I never want to take an act from anybody. I never want to poach an act. It's just it's a small town. Why do that? Why burn any bridges or have any funky energy? So, you know, his contract ended, and he left and was looking for a spot, and we worked out our financials, and then the entire MGM family was just so welcoming to him with open arms, and it jumped through hoops to make sure he was comfortable and happy, because they know what a legend he is, and he's been doing great business, man. It's a perfect fit. So now we have rounded out our entertainment at the castle. So we have a full showroom there and a full showroom at the Strat.
And speaking of Thunder, you know, we've talked a lot about that show over the years. Have you guys seen that same Thunder audience coming back, you know, the bachelorette parties, the groups? We had a great summer in Las Vegas. We were just talking about that. Travel was great. Visitation was great. Have the same customers been coming back to experience Thunder again after not being able to do it for so long? Or have you seen some variation in the audience for that show?
Not only have they all come back, but they have all come back in droves. We've literally had a record summer. We've never done this kind of business in the 20-year history that we've been in Las Vegas. You know, 19 years at the castle and 1 year at the Frontier. It's like the floodgates are just open. All that pent-up demand, specifically for that demographic, you know, all the bachelorette parties that couldn't possibly happen because of the pandemic, they're making up for that. And this, you know, girls are coming out 18, you know, to 80 and just, you know, letting their hair down and coming to the show that's been successful for so many years for that reason. It's just been amplified. It's just been out of control, and it's been so amazing to see. You know what I mean? Especially for the performer side, too. They've been, you know, they slogged it out through the pandemic. And, you know, Thunder from Down Under, our show, was one of the first to open with this 50 tickets. And we just wanted to get the guys working again and get the brand, you know, going. Even though, you know, financially wasn't the smart move, we just wanted to get it going. And it paid off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's been so incredible to see. And now we're ramping up our touring division. And, you know, we're going to start our international tour March of next year, and our Vegas show keeps doing record numbers, so it's been amazing.
Yeah. We stayed in touch over the crazy pandemic times. We were talking pretty frequently, and I know that not only were you busy here in Vegas keeping the fires burning and continuing to develop things, you did some stuff outside of Vegas too. You tried some different things, developed some new projects. Do you want to talk about those just a little bit and the possibility of one of those things maybe coming to Vegas at some point?
Yeah, well, one of the things we did, I formed another company called Deep Dream with a couple of friends of mine that I've known in Vegas for, you know, 15, 20 years. Andre Briley and Wayne Jeffries, they brought me in to this company. They had formed a joint venture with Creative Artists Agency, CAA, the big talent agency that's global, with the goal of doing immersive entertainment. And, you know, it's a buzzword, right? But it's really sort of the future of entertainment, these sort of immersive experiences. And you know, this one particular project we did was with the iconic holiday brand called Elf on the Shelf. And what they did was they created a whole COVID-friendly drive-through experience, which was in Pomona, California, at the Speedway, the fairway there. And you know, we brought in, you know, half the money we raised, and then CA brought the other half in, and we were partners on this venture, and we didn't know how it was going to go, and it was a grand slam home run. It exceeded business, and everybody made their money back, and then some, and then this year, now we're now going to be doing Pomona, California again, but we're also going to be doing Arlington, Texas, with a partnership with the Texas Rangers. And so that's a brand that we think is going to be evergreen. It's going to keep expanding to different markets in the U.S. and also overseas. And and CAA put together this unbelievable team of the top-notch creative people I've ever worked with in my life, like David Korins, who was the set designer for Hamilton, and all these unbelievable experiences. And Vance Garrett, who's the architect for a lot of these immersive properties. And so it's been great. I've had a very little role in that other than being a part of this company and, you know, helping them raise cash. But there's tons of potential there and a lot of potential for expansion. Vegas is not on the short list for this particular Elf on the Shelf experience. We're talking about Atlanta. We're talking about New York City. We're talking about the Midwest. And of course, my hands always said, what about Vegas? You know, Glittering Lights does great business, and I'm sure we could do something similar. Mm-hmm. So they're looking for markets that are a bit bigger with the local population, perhaps Phoenix and stuff like that. So if it ever changes, man, I'll let you know. I think it'd be amazing here.
Yeah, and that sounds like something that, like, it's not going to matter at what state of COVID we're in or where we're past or whatever. That's an experience that people are going to want to have no matter what's going on.
Absolutely. It's much like, you know, the Rockettes when you go to New York City. It's like a thing to do, right? The Polar Express. People drive for miles. You know, in Christmas and the holiday times, you know, it's family time. People spend money on that. They want that family experience, that holiday experience. And I think Elf on the Shelf is such an iconic, cool brand. And what they've done with it was amazing. And, yeah, for COVID, it's drive-through. For non-COVID, it's going to be a walk-through, even more immersive, if you will. You know, a Chris Kindle market, if you will. We can, you know, buy the merchandise. And, you know, drive-through with the merchandise wasn't that good. But, you know, when the merchandise is, you're able to have a little merchandise village, that's going to be huge. Yeah. So there's so much potential with that.
That's it for this week. Thanks again for listening to The Sun on the Strip. And thanks to Adam Steck of Spy Entertainment for welcoming me into his fantastic office, which is right next to my office. Mine's not as fantastic as his. But great to spend time with him as always. You definitely need to go check out all the new shows at The Strat. And go check out Matt King, Comedy and Magic at Excalibur, if you haven't done that. I don't need to tell you to go to Thunder. I know that you're already going, or your wife is. If you want to find past episodes of The Sun on the Strip, just go to lasvegassun.com/podcasts, and I'll be right back here next week with another interview. Thanks again. Take care.